Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. In this first hour, we are going to focus a fair bit on the metal sector, but we're also going to get a couple comments at the tail end of the show on a more general basis, trying to understand just where money is flowing. To kick off this show, I am chatting with Jeff Christian. He is the managing partner over at CPM Group. And Jeff, one thing that I know a lot of people are asking you, and you even said after this trip pretty much around the world that you went on, talking to a lot of large investors and different funds, that there's a lot at play for the precious metals right now. What are some of the key factors that you are outlining to the groups that you consult for?
Well, I think one of the big things that we've always done is we talk about the economy and the financial markets, interest rates and the dollar. There are a lot of people talking about potential economic weakness and a recession in 2019, falling interest rates, falling dollar. And we're not necessarily sure that that's what you're going to see. I think that there's obviously a pause in the Fed's rate increases, but I think I wouldn't be surprised to see the Fed raise interest rates in the second half of the year, depending on where the economy goes. I think the economy in the United States and many other countries will probably continue to be stronger than people expect, the same way it was last year. So we've been spending a lot of time talking about, what the Fed's policies seem to be, where the interest rates seem to be going, whether the dollar is going to rise or fall, what's going on with the stock market. Brexit is obviously very important, as are various issues and problems in the U.S. government. So we've been spending a lot of time talking about these sort of macroeconomic factors, because that's really what drives investors into or not into gold and to some extent silver. Also, the fundamentals are changing. I mean, platinum is looking tighter. The palladium market is very high. Silver market fundamentals are pretty weak right now and need to have some attention paid to them. So we're finding institutional investors and high net worth individuals who want to sort of review the fundamentals and also review the economics and also understand really where the markets are and how they're operating these days, because there have been some big structural changes over the last decade in financial markets and in commodity markets in terms of the number of participants involved and how they buy and sell metals. So we're doing a lot of that kind of discussion. And then there's obviously the discussion about where we think the prices are going.
All right, Jeff, I want to first revisit that one comment that you made that you think economies might be stronger than expected. And last year we had that one driver that can be attributed to the tax cuts. Plus, we had just more money flowing into the U.S. because you could make the argument that other economies around the world were weak. Do you see any certain drivers to the economies this year that can help keep them stronger?
Yeah, well, obviously we're not going to see the tax cuts. But I do think that the U.S. economy, for all of its perceived weaknesses on the horizon, it's still relatively strong. And what we saw last year was in the first quarter of last year, a lot of people moved into gold and gold prices got up to about $1,380 based on the view that the economies were weak and, there could be a recession in the United States and the stock market could fall. And, the stock market did fall in the last 4 months of the year, but it rose to new highs in the first 8 months of the year. So I see a similar pattern. Obviously, we don't have the tax cuts, but there is, for all of the signs that the economy is reaching mature stages, demand is still relatively strong in many sectors. Housing showing problems, but the housing market continues to plug away. Autos are a little bit weak, but they're not as weak as some people thought they would be a month or two ago. So we see the economy kind of topping out or moving toward a top this year, but not necessarily falling sharply or going into recession mode. And I think that sort of sets up the precious metals markets for a pattern somewhat similar to last year, where you saw the price, you know, surge in the early, in the first quarter of the year on economic concerns. And then when the economy didn't, wasn't as weak as people thought, they sort of backed away. And I think that that could happen in the second quarter. Then in the second half of the year, I think we might start seeing some more issues related to the stock market, and that could actually help support gold. So, you know, we're looking for the price to rise modestly this year, but not run away.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, I share a lot of those same insights with you, especially as we grind through this year, and very much it sounds like continue to build this base for the metals. But you did also mention these big structural changes that have happened within the markets in terms of different investors maybe showing some interest and where money has been flowing. Can you share a few more insights on these structural changes, please?
Sure. Well, one of the things we've watched for the last couple of years was in 2017 and early 2018, you saw a lot of traditional gold and silver investors backing away from the market, people who were buying gold and silver because they expected a financial collapse. And in some cases, they were just saying, no, it's not happening. In some cases, they were dying and their heirs were selling their precious metals. But even as that was occurring, you saw generalist investor funds becoming more interested in gold and silver in 2017 and the first half of 2018. And what happened in the second half of 2018 is those guys kind of backed away from the market. So you've seen a shift in who's interested in buying and selling gold and silver, both in the ETFs and futures and physicals. And then you've also had this big decline. We've been doing some research on the futures markets and the OTC markets, and you've had a big decline in the number of commodity trade advisory firms, commodity pool operators, and hedge funds that actually get involved in precious metals as futures or options or forwards or OTC trades. And of the companies that still say that they're involved in precious metals in those paper markets, the vast majority of them seem to be technically driven as opposed to macroeconomically or fundamentally driven. So they're really just looking at price momentum, and they're buying when the price is rising and selling when the price is falling.
Is that the situation that we're in right now, though, is that so many traders are technical traders, and without any sort of a breakout in the precious metals, it's hard to expect a lot of these guys to all of a sudden come into the sector? It's really a story of the gold bugs, your standard gold bugs, kind of dying off, unfortunately.
Yeah, the standard gold bugs are dying off to some extent. There are new ones coming into the market. And, you know, governments around the world work very hard to create new gold bugs by giving us all kinds of reasons to be worried in the long run. So I think that that'll be there. But you've got a lot of other people who are more opportunistic, and they will not be involved in precious metals for 20 years. But then when the price starts rising, they'll rush in, and they're experts. You know, and then when the price starts falling, they rush out and they forget about it for 20 years. And I think that that is a pattern that we've seen repeatedly over the last 30 years. It probably is going to continue. But I'll say this, it's not just gold. I mean, you're seeing this kind of pattern of more algorithmic trading across financial markets. There's a far less intellectual content in fund management than there used to be. And it's not just gold. It's really across assets.
Yeah, that's a very good point. A lot of these generalists that simply want to play the trend, and they don't care what trend or what sector they are playing. I also want to talk to you about a trend that we have seen in the metals, precious metals sector, and that is a consolidation of the majors. Kind of at the top of the pyramid, we've seen the biggest companies get together now and work, or well, they sound like they are working through their projects and their operations. How have you been telling the people that you've been talking to about the impacts on the market and even some of the opportunities that will become available?
Well, we've cautioned our clients for years that, you know, a lot of the gold, the large gold mining companies they're not geared up for growth. They're struggling to replace their reserves year in, year out, and they're not particularly attractive to investors. And that, you know, we've always said that our clients should look for companies that generate good profits and not measure success in terms of the number of ounces you have, but rather, you know, the dollars of profit that you have. And what we're seeing is that some of the big gold mining companies are not doing that. They're continuing to try to get more ounces, even if it doesn't mean more profits. And as a result, you've seen a couple big mega mergers announced late last year and early this year. And those mergers, when you get those two large companies put together, there are any number of attractive smaller deposits that they have that they might be looking at to develop that they will now slough off and look to sell because they just make even less sense for an ever larger company. So one of the trends that we're seeing is, you know, mid-tier and smaller mining companies and institutional investors and entrepreneurially oriented investors starting to look at the portfolio of undeveloped properties that these guys have, and in some cases developed properties, and say, well, what's available for purchase here and how do I go about it? And, you know, okay, obviously the mining company is going to want to run an auction process to get the best possible price, but can I approach these people before they start the auction process and say, hey, let's talk about ways that we might, you know, buy the XYZ property off of you. So I think that the attitude that we're seeing in the industry and among larger investors is, what are the opportunities here to pick up stuff that these newly larger companies might not want?
Yeah, I share those same optimistic thoughts that there are some properties that these large guys just will not pay attention to and they will offload. But if we drive down even further into some of the juniors and exploration companies, it was a trend that we saw throughout this bottoming process. And that is really the major funding coming from some of these large companies taking equity positions in these exploration companies. Do you think that the majors will still be looking at doing this while they're trying to sort out their operations, or will this now fall on some of the mid-tiers or some of these royalty and streaming companies?
I think the majors will do a little bit of it. I think they'll do less than they had been doing. It's going to fall more on the mid-tiers and the streamers, as you say. And it's probably also you'll probably also see some of these mid-tiers now become targets for acquisitions as these guys look to build their reserves. Because they're in even more dire condition of needing to have additional reserves to replace the reserves they're mining every year as they get larger and larger.
Okay. And you know what? One thing that you even said, it's what investors would like to see more of is these major companies start to run their companies like profitable companies, not just adding these ounces to their balance sheet. But during your trips around the world and with the different groups that you met with, would you say that there are new groups starting to pay attention to the metals sector for whatever reason it might be?
We saw that trend, as I said, we saw that trend emerging in 2017 and early 2018, and there was a backing away in the second half of 2018. There are some groups that we're talking to that are new as investors in the sector, but it's probably, you know, I think the price weakness that we saw in gold and silver in the last three quarters of last year has sort of caused a lot of those guys to pause in their enthusiasm toward moving into the market. And, you know, we're trying to help them realize that this is a good time to buy. You know, one of the themes that we're working with our clients on this year is a time to accumulate. But this is a time when prices have not started rising sharply again yet. And it's probably a good time to be accumulating both precious metals and precious metals equities because we do think that, you know, prices will rise in the next 5 to 7 years sharply.
So, Jeff, just one more quick comment on some of these structural changes and the different investors that could come into the sector. One argument I think can be made for some of these new groups that are more generalist funds is that now there are so many different ETFs to play either the actual price of gold or to play a portfolio of gold companies that they're not as enticed to actually dive into whatever number it might be, these thousands of gold companies out there, and make their own active investments. Do you see this being a bit of a hamper for individual companies?
Definitely. The fact that you can avoid all of the management risk, country risk, operational risk, performance risk, reserve risks by just going into an ETF is definitely a factor. And I think that because the mining share prices have underperformed, I mean, the argument against that is that you have a better beta. You know, if gold prices rise, traditionally gold mining shares rise more. And a lot of that's diminished because of the bad performance of the stock prices over the last couple of years. So this, I think the mining industry is hard pressed to make that argument that yes, you can do the ETFs, but you'll get more bang for your buck if you choose mining companies. And it's a point that has been harder to make because of the bad performance of share prices over the last couple of years.
And I think on top of that, the poor performance of management teams as well, still draining the company of their funds, which unfortunately I don't see slowing down right now. Final comment though here, Jeff, and that deals with this overall bottoming process that it really looks like gold is putting in on that long-term monthly chart. Do you think, whether it's this year, next year, or 3 years out, that the breakout of this range that gold is traded in will be to the upside or to the downside?
I think it's to the upside. I mean, you know, our view is that gold prices rise this year, that they trade between, say, 1280 and 1380, 1400 over the course of 2019, that in 2020 they're somewhat higher, so they're trading between, say, maybe 1340 and 1480. And then at some point, we think that the economic conditions and the budget deficits and the debt and the financial imbalances really cause economic ill-ease, which leads to a move upward in gold prices. Because, you know, the gold market saw a sharp diminution in the amount of gold, physical gold, that investors bought in 2018. And the price fell $200. If investors go back to where they were in 2017, 2016, in terms of the volumes of physical gold they want, the gold's not readily available. So they're going to have to bid the price up. And I think that the price will rise sharply simply because, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, people who own gold, generally speaking, hold on to it. So incremental increases in demand for gold from other investors because the economy is looking scary or the political environment scary, those incremental increases in demand have to be met by bidding the price up sharply in order to encourage other people to sell and take their profits. So when it happens, we think the breakout will be on the upside.
All right, there you have it from Jeff Christian, Managing Partner at CPM Group. Jeff, I really do appreciate all of your comments and you joining us on the KE Report on a regular basis to share what I think is a very balanced and level-headed approach to the precious metals sector. Have a great rest of your weekend, Jeff, and thanks again for your time.
Okay, great, thanks.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.